Beloved family members, come tell us what communion means to them. Tonight, it's the guy that started this whole thing 20 years ago. It's Pastor John Featherston. So come on up here, brother.
Thank you, sir. Bronco John. Because I drive American, James Hillberry. Welcome to Serenity Church. My name is John, and I'm a very grateful overcomer of the hardcore drunk, really sick junkie category. And by the grace of God, somebody as sick as me has not had to get drunk or get high for 14,143 days today. People say, how long have you been doing this? And I say, I have to literally pause and think of what year they're talking about, because I don't do this a year at a time. I don't do this a week at a time. The way they taught me to live this life and get this gift was a minute at a time. And I thank God for every one of those minutes. Next time I'll have to compute how many minutes that is, Stephen. That'll be a number to remember. 250 years ago today, 52 men were gathered up in what history says was a sweltering hot upstairs room in an old meeting room in Philadelphia, and they were about to sign their own death warrant. They decided that they were not being served as colonies of Great Britain, and they were being profoundly done wrong by King George of England, and they said, enough is enough. And they wrote him a letter and said, we're breaking up with you. We're through. And they had spent weeks working on every single word of that. And they knew that as citizens of Great Britain, which they were that day, that when they put their name on that letter, they were signing their death warrant. That was a crime punishable by death. And they signed it anyway. The heart of that document said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And from that day forward, we've been a work in progress, haven't we, America? Every generation has to pick up the baton and run the next lap of that great dream. Some of those guys, most of those guys who signed that letter that day really didn't mean a lot of that. When they signed a letter saying all men are created equal, most of them went home to their farms and plantations, to the people they had bought and sold to take care of their crops, and did not consider them people at all. And they really meant it when they said all men are created equal, because they considered half of the population to be less equal than the other half. It was 140 years of America later, 140 years, before women in this country could own property, could have a bank account, or for heaven's sakes, go vote for the people who were making the decisions about their lives. But one hurdle at a time, we keep jumping the hurdles. to realize the dream of what it can be and what it should be. But you know, I don't look to the founding fathers for the final answer on that. I am so grateful to be an American. I'm grateful that I was stationed here temporarily to represent the wishes of the kingdom I come from, as a spokesman of my king. But my primary citizenship is a kingdom. And my entire loyalty is to a king. And he is the only one that can make true the dream of those promises in that letter they signed in Philadelphia. Three of these that are indispensable, non-negotiable, they said, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There is not a government, there's not a country, there's not a Congress, president, governor, or legislature that can cause that to happen for us. That's not where we get those things. I'm grateful that we have the right to pursue them, but that's not where they come from. They come from our King and our kingdom. I love how he said this: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. My King said, put it this way, with his gift of life. Very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. And all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep have not listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. Listen, I have come that you may have life and have it completely. We have inalienable rights. They were right. We were endowed by our Creator with those rights. And the document was very clear that they understood where rights come from. We were endowed by our Creator with these inalienable rights. Life, liberty, also a constant struggle in our country, every town, and everybody, liberty. Jesus was trying to explain the liberty he gives to the Jews. He said, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Their response would have been a classic American and really, really Texan response. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? I can hear me saying that. I'm a Texan. Nobody ever enslaved me, thank you very much. And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, whoever sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Three of these that are non-negotiable, the founding fathers in that upstairs room signed their name and said, our Creator intends for us to have these as God-given rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nobody ever guaranteed anybody happiness. We weren't guaranteed happiness, but we were guaranteed the right to pursue it. And where does that come from? The night my King, for reasons I will never understand, the night my King got off the throne of heaven and came down into a baby's body in a barn in the desert in the Middle East in a little town of nowhere. Angels showed up that night to announce it and to explain what it meant. They said, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people." So when we come to this table, that's what we're coming to taste, feel, and absorb into our bodies. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, a lot like this one, and he thanked the Father for it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Eat this, all of you, because this represents my body, which is about to be given up for you." The Apostle Paul said, "Just as there is one loaf, there is one body, because we all partake of the one loaf." And he took a cup, and he blessed it, and he thanked the Father for it, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This represents my blood, which is about to be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins." So we have the opportunity to taste the forgiveness of Jesus. He knows how we are. He made us. He knows that until we see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, it's not real. He said, "Well, taste this, because this is the taste of your freedom, of your freedom."